Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We like to talk baseball with Jason Stark from The Athletic and MLB Network. And the segment today is brought to you by U.S. Waterproofing. Cracks causing water in your basement. Visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation. Good afternoon, Jason. How are you doing?
Danny, I'm great, man. How are you doing?
I was at the Cubs game last night, so I'm still tired from it. It was so boring. But other than that, I'm doing okay.
You saw a run? What else could you ask?
One whole run.
And it wasn't for the right team either, unfortunately, who only had three hits off of a kid who'd never pitched in Wrigley Field, who went six and change. And then the angular Miller got the job done most of the rest of the way. So that's it. That's this Cubs team, Jason. Some days it delivers, and other days it's in deep hibernation.
You know, Dan, I see that. I agree with that. And yet, you know, when my wife was coaching, I used to remind her all the time there are two teams playing. And the Indians can't pitch. They are second in the American League in rotation ERA. I mean, they're a long ways from the Astros. But they do this to teams beyond the Cubs. Nevertheless, the inconsistency of the Cubs offensively, their issues playing situational baseball, I mean, they definitely get your attention, whether it's just a early part of the season phenomenon or whether it's something that will persist is something we're going to have to figure out.
How do you see it in baseball? Because the narrative around this team is they crush the bad teams, and then when they play the good teams, like, you know, the teams they'll see in October, they struggle offensively. Do you see that as that's what all of the good teams do, or are the Cubs more guilty of that than most?
Well, you know, 2 years ago, we didn't see that, right? They just had that look from day one. But it is fairly normal for most teams to have those issues. I mean, if you beat up on all the good teams, it means you're a great team. I think it's safe to say this is not a great Cubs team, but it can still be a good Cubs team. A lot's going to come down to health, and a lot's going to come down to who makes the best deals here in the next 2 months.
Yeah, speaking of deals.
What do you got in mind?
Well, no, listen, we've talked about the Manny Machado thing, and we kind of, you know, stoked the flames on that one. Me and Nick Szczepkowski were the ones who brought the Manny Machado sign to the White Sox game. So, you know.
He did, right?
Yeah, exactly. Up to our old hijinks. Do you get a sense that the Orioles will get the most from Machado if they trade him early, or if they allow the old adage of deadlines make deals and get teams bidding against each other?
You know, I think he's going to be the most interesting, potentially most attractive piece on this trade market.
I would think so.
So there's that. There's also the longtime style of Dan Duquette, assuming he's the guy who makes this call. You know, Dan is a waiter-outer kind of guy. If you look at his style, every offseason, he tries to wait and wait and wait to get the most bang for the buck, to get the biggest bargains. He signed three-fifths of his starting rotation after spring training started this year. If this is his call, I would say he waits. But it might not be solely his call. It might not be his call at all. And maybe these are unusual circumstances because he's a rental. They're 19 games under 500. And the sooner you move a guy who obviously has to get traded, you would think the more you would get back if he's a rental. Considering how much the Orioles need to get back for this player, then it would make a lot of sense. But how early is early? I can't think of a time when the trading season started like the first or second week of June.
Duquette? Go ahead, Jason.
I can't. I can think of a time when it started the last week of June. And the Cubs trade for Rich Harden in the last week of June 1 year.
Yep.
But I can't, even though people talk about this being the earliest it's going to start, I'll believe it when I see it.
Dan Duquette pretty much has said it's the call of those who are bigger in the organization than he is.
He was on our station and he was referring to the trade in the third person. He was like, the Orioles are going to have to decide what they want to do with Manny Machado. It was weird.
Dan's an interesting guy, man. He doesn't fit the mold. You got to read between every line.
And so, okay. And so, that, do you read that the same way that we did? That he probably does not have final say on this one.
I do.
Okay.
I think that the guys that they're going to be trading in the next 2 months are all players who have been the face of their franchise in some way, shape, or form, for the most part. Obviously, some of the relief pitchers that wouldn't be true, but Adam Jones is in that boat. Zach Britton, there's all that impetus for Zach Britton as MVP a couple of years ago. Zach Britton as Cy Young. These are not going to be simple trades. There are a lot of plot lines swirling.
Jason Stark is our guest from The Athletic and MLB Network. So Wellington Castillo gets suspended 80 games. And, this one will be in and out of the news cycle in half a day because of who he is as a player and where the White Sox are. But I asked the question, I wonder if you can inject him with truth serum if he's upset at the result, because the guy's got a 2-year deal. It's $15 million. He gets suspended for 80 games. He doesn't get paid for that portion of it, but the rest of his contract is guaranteed. Where do you think baseball or in general the marketplace would say, like, hey, you know what? The underbelly here, the uncomfortable truth is that if it took cheating for Wellington Castillo, and that's a big if, I understand, but if it took cheating for Wellington Castillo to get that contract at that age, given his prior career earnings, it was probably worth getting caught in the suspension.
Well, you could certainly make that argument, and we've heard it a number of times in the case of players like him. He's not going to the Hall of Fame, right? It doesn't affect his legacy. Why do many players take what they take? It's a chance to cash that one big check. And in his case, yeah, it worked. I don't know what was in his mind. I don't know why he did what he did. It was certainly interesting that he's one of the very first players to get caught and own it. He certainly admitted it. So we can't go that far, but was it worth it for him? I think his family, his kids, his grandkids, the people who will be taken care of by the money he will still earn would say, sure, it was worth it for us. It's been one of the big dilemmas in the sport is how can you attach enough financial consequences to testing positive to really deter people from doing this?
That was the next question. Is there a policy where there is more teeth? Because that was supposed to be this policy.
Well, there's more teeth now than there used to be. But until there were some agreement that you would void all contracts of players in a situation like this, I don't know that there'll ever be fully enough teeth. Alex Rodriguez made how many millions of dollars? I think in his career he made over $500 million despite getting suspended for a full season, right? Or pretty much a full season. And he's not getting in the Hall of Fame either, I would guess. But look at him now. What was the cost? He made $500 million and he all of a sudden he's beloved A-Rod, the TV star.
He works for both networks. It's incredible.
I was just going to ask Jason if he feels, now that's media making those decisions because he's a polarizing guy. Do you find fans these days more tolerant of PEDs than they were 10 years ago?
I'm just fascinated by this always because there's such selective outrage, isn't there? I mean, how beloved is Bartolo Colon? Nobody cares what he did. There's all this gnashing of teeth about Robbie Cano, and I understand that. But, you know, I have a feeling, you know, Robbie Cano will come back. He'll play out the last 5 years in Seattle, probably be a good player. People probably enjoy watching him there. We apply our outrage to this minuscule group of players, guys who threaten the record book, right? Especially the Babe Ruth related records, guys who have a chance to go to Cooperstown, and then everything else, we seem to just like put it out of our mind as soon as it becomes convenient to not care. And to me, that actually makes sense. I think that's the way I would describe the way people feel about the entire PED era. They have this kind of this filing cabinet in their brain, and their outrage about PEDs fits in the file, but it only comes out at certain times. The rest of the time, they're still fine with watching baseball, watching sports. They don't care about it in the other sports. The whole thing is just surreal to me.
You know, I agree with every word you just said. Last thing with Jason Stark from The Athletic and MLB Network. Your colleague at the MLB Network, Brian Kenny, has been on a crusade for bullpenning. He's on a crusade for a lot of things, and I love Brian.
Yeah.
Do you think what the Rays are doing is a step in that direction? Is it for them? Like, where do you think this goes?
You know, I was on MLB Network on Brian's show last Friday when this issue erupted, and we had quite a fun discussion about it. Brian knows. We're good friends. He knows that I'm fascinated by the deep thinking in baseball, and this is certainly an example of deep thinking. And the thinking in a case like this makes sense. It's the right team, a team whose rotation is in shambles, who's been doing these bullpen days all season long anyway, who was playing the right opponent, a team that's certainly not going to bench Mike Trout or move him down in the lineup, right? That their stars are going to hit at the top of the order no matter who's pitching. It was the perfect situation to do it. But does that make it genius? To me, it's only genius if it works. But when I made this point on Brian's show, he said, no, the results don't matter. This is about the thought process and how smart the thought process
right,
is.
Right, do the process, not the results.
Yeah, and I said, well, this is where I jumped off the train. Like, you realize this is a real team, right? It's not a lab experiment. These games count. The only way that people will do this, other teams will do this, is if it works. And then I have one other reservation, too. This is just kind of a completely different reservation, and that is that the lore of baseball is still built around the starting pitcher. Why do you go to the park when you're going to a game? What's the first thing you say?
Who's pitching
tonight? See, it's the only equivalent that baseball has to LeBron and Steph have the ball in their hands 100 times a night. Lester's going to throw 90 pitches tonight. Scherzer's going to throw 115. That's great theater. Nothing replaces that. Right? Am I right?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, but I don't know that, like, that's a fan point, right? Like, that's not going to stop a general manager from doing it if they think it's in the best case for their team. I also think asking John Lester to not start is a tough putt. Like, I think, you know what I mean? You got to maybe start doing it in the minor leagues and, like, groom people into it.
That's the hardest part of this, and I try to make that point on the show, too, is there's a psychological and emotional aspect to it because you're dealing with human beings. The human beings need to buy in, and the human beings need a reward for what they're doing. It's easy for Brian Kenny, for anybody to say, wins don't matter. Every time you hand the starting pitcher the ball, he thinks it matters. And to get to a place where they no longer think that, we got a lot of work to do.
Great stuff. Jason Stark from The Athletic and MLB Network. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, man. Thanks.
See you, Jason.
That's Jason Stark.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.